Let's welcome everybody in to the Leaf Hour edition of our program. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee with a grin on his face like the cat that swallowed the canary. Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick for the next 2 hours. What gives, Sammy?
You just make me laugh. Like, you know... No guest in the first hour
at 3:59:58.
I'm like, no, not today, guys. We're going to do the mailbag that I talked about all night and all day in the group chat and mentioned three times at the desk and here before we started.
Just confirming. Just getting the details. Right? Like,
Sammy just turned into my wife 10 seconds ago with like, do not pay attention to me. I said this already.
Yeah. That's okay. I don't care.
You're like, I'll pay attention when it's time to pay attention.
That's my favorite question. That's my favorite question. Literally 1 second before, it's Andrew Holland today too, by the way. It's not Derek. Literally 1 second before Dutchie plays the music. What's going on the show? You make me laugh. I love you, bud.
I've been doing that for 25 years.
I know.
I worked with Darren Millard, and it's like, Mallard, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Maybe 10 seconds before the show, not five.
But I do find that is a media thing. Like, you can do all the prep, and you've done all the research and all the conversations, but it's like, okay, remind me, what's the main, where are we starting?
Research?
When we...
He does his own form.
Yeah.
When we started this show 4 years ago, I think I only met you prior to that. The first time I met you, we were on air together. Did you know that?
Is that true?
It is true. Never met you before. And you were outside Coppingwood's front doors at an NHL alumni tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
With Gord Stellick.
On the air.
Yeah.
And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. I did a live show with Gord. I
believe it was 2019 because I think I had just left Sportsnet then. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys like, you want to come on the air? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And that was the first time I met you.
That's funny because Gord was just like grabbing people he knew from the event. And I will say, I was very nervous. I was pretty new.
Yes.
And I was like not super comfortable in that setting.
Yeah, and I do distinctly remember saying, that guy stinks. Never going to make it. Ever.
You know, if people had listened to our first show together, they'd have said the same thing.
I think I've said it before, but that's torture. Like, I think I scrubbed the internet.
So, the second time I met you was when... We had lunch together.
Yeah, we went for a...
We went across the street here from the studios. Cool. We sat down. I had never met Sammy before.
Yeah.
And the third time we did a show.
Right?
I tell you, while we're just like reminiscing for no reason.
Yeah.
The most awkward thing about the first show was you were, you asked me if I was a Seinfeld guy on air.
I did?
And yeah. And you were like, you remember the black and white cookie episode? And I was like, I do. I was like, I do. And you're like, all right, well, tell people like how it went or whatever. And I was like, well, I don't remember the plot of the episode. I mean, I have seen it. I just remember like we, you know, there was an instant chemistry, but we took a week and we figured it out.
You know what was the turning point for us? Stevie Thomas dropping the F-bombs, hardest F-bomb.
Multiple F-bombs on our early shows.
In our show.
Didn't hurt us.
And I was like, you know We're going to be all right.
We're going to be a dressing room vibe show.
The only reason I brought this all up is because I just want to go back to back to the original thought of like me going, what are we doing? It's because I don't necessarily prepare. What are you laughing at?
Yes, you do.
No.
You're on the phone for 2 hours.
No. That's different.
Okay.
That's, for me, that's more like just research. Mm-hmm. To actually prepare for the show, I just like, and I told you guys, when we start meeting together, we're not talking about the show.
No.
It was really because I'm not really, I have no idea where it's going to go or what's going to happen, but it's going to be like, what are we doing right off the top?
Well, I would say one of the initial pieces of skepticism someone may have had of the show was, could you be a host? Yeah. And you can.
You can. You've proved it.
I know.
Also,
I don't buy that, but what I like is spontaneity.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what Sammy's going to say. Sammy's going to cry one day. Yeah. He's going to laugh one day. Yeah. I don't want to know it till we're on the air.
So
that's my what are we doing moment.
Well, the one thing that we like to talk about upstairs is a lot of golf. And, you know, all the boys are starting to head to Sims, and it's starting to get warmer out. So that'll dominate our pre-show conversations.
There was grass at Scarborough today. Some of the snow was melting.
Well, listen. We had the owner, Ryan Smith, from Utah, with an open invitation for us to golf, and I'm not forgetting it.
No, neither am I.
Just keep that in mind.
Let's do it.
Wide open summer.
People come one day to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, and they hear silence. You'll know we're gone.
Listen, after the first 2 weeks of the playoffs, we'll have lots of time.
All right, the Toronto Maple Leafs on the ice today as they prepare for the Florida Panthers. Great news for Leaf fans last night. Both Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky stunk.
Yeah.
And they lost.
I mean, Florida blew a lead in the third period to Boston. Zadorov beat up Sam Bennett?
A little bit.
Not really.
He's a lot of guy.
A lot of man. Fun.
It was fun. It was a fun game, and good on the Boston Bruins for showing everybody that they're not going to just lie down.
2 points
after
out of a playoff spot.
Having their team blown up, pretty much. So, good news for the Leafs is that Florida burns another game. They get a game in hand on them and a chance to pass them tomorrow night in the Atlantic Division with a win, JB.
Yeah. They're two points back now, so they can catch them, but with a game in hand still.
Which would put them in first.
Which would put them ahead. Yeah, and Tampa Bay... That's a surprising loss for them, but they're now 3 points back of the Leafs. And it's just one of those things where there's 18 games left and trying to make up points in a division where you play each other, it gets harder. It's getting tight.
Can I give you a trust tree moment that I've had over the last little bit? And there's no one else listening.
I think I know what's coming.
I've been watching a lot of the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, God.
And, they're not nearly as good as Tampa or Florida, and I'm never going to say that.
Are they making you nervous again?
I'd rather just lose to Tampa or Florida than them. If I'm a Leaf fan, that is definitely looming. That to me is the number one horror, and it's kind of looming. Give me the first round Tampa or Florida over Ottawa. Give it to me.
I'm not saying this to embarrass you.
Yeah, you will.
But this is what I love about you.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
No, last week you were just giddy over the Ottawa Senators losing.
That's called being a fan, baby. That's what we do.
And now they're scaring you.
Well, if Allmark's going to be good like he was on that night, and they are just, they played the Flyers last night who stink, but I just...
You know what scares you?
New...
Good vibes.
No.
The new team in playoffs, first year, good vibes. You remember the Leafs gave the Capitals such a struggle 100%. In 2016-17? It was like... new and exciting, and their young guys gave their best push, and Brady's going to do that. Ullmark is going to be good. Now, that said, you'll take that over much better teams.
Yeah, Florida's
better. Or at least better teams.
I guess it's not going to be Florida, probably, because we don't think – it's not going to be Florida in the first round, probably, because you think that Tampa is behind. It's either going to be Toronto wins the division or they play Tampa. Those would probably be the two outcomes, and I would much rather play Ottawa than Tampa, but –
Tampa has the softest schedule.
So you think they could get up to one?
This division is a triple coin toss.
Just one more note on Ottawa before we go back to Leafs Florida.
Buffalo did it again.
Loving Dylan Cousins in Ottawa.
Oh, my God.
New Reinhardt just dropped, boys. I'm telling you. Okay. I totally agree. Yeah. He's huge.
I think it was just genius to break up that comfortable core between all of the young kids that got their money early and just felt like they were in this comfort zone. And you get Josh Norris out, who's a very good hockey player, very talented
Isn't
hockey
Cousins
player.
Cheaper and healthier and younger.
$7 million. And I don't know what Norris is at.
7.9.
Okay. So he's cheaper. He's cheaper. And he hasn't had 3 shoulder surgeries.
Yeah, that seems pretty relevant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that I noticed right away, Dylan Cousins, I think he played his third game last night, at least for the first two games against the Rangers. 9 hits.
Oh, yeah. Just
9 hits in his first game. Mm-hmm. In his second game versus Detroit, 8 hits.
Just 17 hits in two games?
17
Does
hits
Nylander
in two games.
Does Nylander have 10 on the year? We joked the other night that he threw his first. He might have 10. I'll have to look it up.
But does he have 10 for the season?
No chance he has 17.
Okay.
And he scored the game winner.
Not to put a ton of pressure on Scott Laughton going into Florida tomorrow night, but you're Saturday night against Colorado, 1 hit.
Well, he's playing Utah, 11 minutes. He's never been a 30-goal guy.
Utah, Monday night, 1 hit.
But you can't say he hasn't been trying to be physically
engaged.
Just
comparing the early returns, mm-hmm. That's all. And, like, Scott needs to be a lot more physically engaged tomorrow night, is my point. Nobody expects him to come in and go 2-1, score a hat trick.
Yeah, yeah.
But he needs to be a physical presence, and hopefully it starts tomorrow night.
Yeah. I mean, last little boost for the Sens, softest schedule in the NHL left. They got 11 home games in their last 18. Things are trending in the right direction.
They're going to be smoking hot going into the playoffs.
They need to really go in a tailspin to miss the playoffs now.
Right now, according to my math, they could 10-8 get them in solidly, you know, 8-8-2, 8-8, you know, whatever, around there, 10-7, whatever. So they got to win about half their games and they'll get it.
No, it has to feel like an 18-wheeler off the road now for the Ottawa
Senators.
With
that schedule and all they need to do to get to 93 points, they should get there.
And they're a team that fits the classic mold of a young, hungry team that had to fight and scrap to get into the playoffs, red hot down the stretch, playing a team with a ton of playoff scars.
You know what it reminds me of?
It is a nightmare scenario for Leaf fans. It really is.
In high school every year.
Can you guys acknowledge that?
Yeah, yeah.
That it is?
Oh, it's a hard game, but in high school every year there was a ball hockey tournament. We were rep hockey team, and there was this team of kids who just loved ball hockey and tried really, really, really hard. And it was so annoying to have to try to beat them.
Yeah,
like it was so frustrating. That's like, you could be the better team, but you're gonna have to work your bag off.
Yes,
I forget if I'm allowed to say that or not. Now every time someone tells me no, anyway,
whatever.
Okay, what are your thoughts on now? You're up against a team that is a huge measuring stick for you, but you're coming off a extended road trip here. Can you play any part of a coming off a road trip card Thursday?
No, you can't. Do you have any pride? Do you care about the division? Do you see who you're playing? Everything rides on winning the Atlantic, and you go in and go, "Ooh, you're a little sleepy after." No
Kachuk, no Marchand, which is a weird thing to say, no Ekblad. Like, it's a game that you should
win. Toronto against a team you're trying to catch. It is a playoff hockey.
Your new additions have played two games. They've homed. They've practiced. They've kind of got settled. Going into that game, if they don't come out like a house on fire, hammer on everything, like it's a concerning start for me.
All right, it's unanimous, at least from the three of us. How about head coach Craig Berube with our first Kippers Clipper?
No, it's a challenge for sure, and the opponent's a challenge, as we know. A very good team, Stanley Cup champs. Yeah, it's a mental grind. You gotta get your head wrapped around it here today, and it's always a little bit of a challenge after a long road, which we've been on for quite some time. But it's just part of the game and the schedule and everything, and got to have mental toughness here tomorrow.
And I'm not gonna say he's not right, right? Like, it is physically, it's a lot, but they've had a few days at home now, and sometimes you got to sit in the cold tub and wake yourself up.
I would much prefer them playing this game as like a smelling salts coming out of the trip as opposed to it being Nashville.
Yeah.
Or like a weird team that it's like there's no relevance coming out of that trip. So having it be the team you're chasing, team that you very well could see in the first or second round of the playoffs, that should be enough. Like, you really got to expect a good effort tomorrow, right?
Totally, totally.
And it's been hard to string 60 minutes. Is it a possibility that they could lose and look better Thursday than they have in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Right?
You know, your point being that they just aren't controlling any play. At the end of the day, when I get my SportLogic stats about ozone time or slot plays or whatever, they're always behind. They might win, but they're always the team who doesn't have the puck, who is chasing the play. It'd be nice to see them push back against a really good Florida Panthers team. Now, will they have Chris Tanev is a big part of that conversation. AC joint sprain, something like that.
Do we have an update?
We have two separate clips on it.
Okay.
So, Dutchie, can you play the first clip for us, clip two?
How close is Tanev, would you say?
I don't know. Same as he was yesterday. I mean, he's close, I'd say. He's getting better. Like, you know, he's improving every day. And, you know, let's just, we'll just have to see. Like, you know, I don't really have a timeline yet.
Okay, he's not playing.
Nope, not playing.
He will not be in the lineup.
No.
Not playing.
Clip two, please, Dutch.
Player.
Yeah, yes. He's, you know, I always use the analogy like when I had Chris Pronger, how much he could control a game. And he controlled it in a different way than Tanev. But Tanev, he controls a lot of the game for us, you know, in the situational play.
Safe to say he's out for tomorrow, though?
I mean, it's 50. You know, I don't know. It's day-to-day here, and we'll make a decision tomorrow when he comes in and see how he feels.
Caught himself at 50-50 because it ain't.
They got to just interview the doctor. Stop making this guy go out there. He has no idea. Does he ever talk to anybody?
No, he does have an idea. He's just not sharing anything.
No comment.
Maybe he was going to say it's 1585 that he's not playing.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment if he's playing.
I know. It's just
he's just hanging
boring.
Himself out to dry.
I don't think he's hanging himself out to dry because he's not hanging on anything.
No, he doesn't mean anything.
Right?
Hanging
yourself out there would be like, I expect him to play, and then he doesn't show up.
You mean,
or I thought he was getting better.
Or he's got really good news on it, so it should be okay.
They, as much as trading for Carlo was the right thing to do and add some reinforcements, I know it's still early, and this decor needs to play better, but you cannot take a chance of him either re-injuring himself or jeopardizing his status going into the playoffs. You lose this guy, you're done.
What he just said. I mean, don't even go to me. That's the thing I was going to say.
It's over. He's right. He is the closest thing they have to someone on the blue line controlling the pace of play.
Did you expect him to be this good for the Leafs?
Yeah.
I did.
He was really, really good in
Dallas,
Vancouver, and especially in Calgary.
Yeah.
And, I think I did expect him to be what he is. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect it, to be honest with you, I didn't expect it to stand out so much.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the thing that has surprised me. And I don't know, is that because you're beside other guys that are struggling?
It's because he's making 4-5. You know, like 4-5, you don't tend to think of someone who controls the play, anchors a pair, is essential to your team. You're like, good player. But this is like, need this guy, most important D.
What? Okay, maybe this is revisionist or maybe there's no validity to this. But this is clearly pretty serious injury. He got hurt. How many games has he missed now? Few. Handful. Yeah, like.
Is it before Four Nations?
I think it was first couple games back from Four Nations. Was it against Pittsburgh, maybe?
His last game played was the 25th of February.
Okay.
Is that against
Boston?
Against Boston.
Oh, he took the shoulder.
Oh, right.
A very innocent kind of looking hit.
So, would they have had
two
any.
Weeks now.
Would they have had any thought of LTIR and spend some money? Guy that needs rest down the stretch?
Well, not if he's saying he's close to 50-50 now.
Okay.
You know, you're 5 weeks from the end of the season. You might have him in a week or two. And if you're trying to win the division, not there. But I see your
idea. Listen, the answer isn't about their issue. The Leafs at the trade deadline, to your point, isn't the issue wasn't not having cap space. It was
assets.
Who? No, not even assets. Who's out there? Who can we get? And that's the biggest
good point
hurdle is who's better, at what price, who's even available. There was nothing, Sam. There was nothing.
All good. And I'm just asking the question.
They were fortunate, I think, to get Carlo, and they paid a heavy price here. He was not cheap.
Yeah.
But he was the best alternative left out there. After that, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that could log Carlo's minutes or add any type of depth like that.
Yeah. They did well to get Carlo. Yeah, and it's a totally fair question. Going to be fascinating to see if he gets a little bit more comfortable. All right. We've got a number of Berube clips on this upcoming game. Do you want to start with preparing for the Panthers?
Yeah, if you prepare differently for the Panthers. Clip 8.
Well, you prepare your team of what you're expecting from the other team, you know, and what kind of a game it's going to be. I think that's the most important thing. We still want to play our game, and we want to initiate as much as possible and go after these guys. But at the same time, there's always, you know, every team you play, there's a style of play that they play, and we've got to try to take advantage of it and try to understand what we're facing.
Can I ask you a question, Kip?
Oh, my God. I was just going to say the same thing. What is it?
When he says, we got to play our game, what is our game?
Lately, right?
What is the Leafs game? What would you say?
Yeah. What would you say?
You do here.
You do here.
But, like, what is the thing you do? Like, Chunky on, I think you should leave. Yeah. Well, before you come out here, you got to have an idea.
Yeah.
Are they physical? Are they high-flying offense? Are they defensive?
Go back, I think they've had two really, really good stretches, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
One was in November, and another one maybe early January, where you go, okay. And I just remember a team that was very hard on a forecheck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
I'll take that, a forechecking team.
Yes, yeah. Very hard on a forecheck, drove to the net. Berube, simple hockey, being able to get pucks that they get in deep, not turn pucks over. Mm. I've seen more turnovers than Sarah Lee right now.
yeah.
So that, to me, is not anywhere near where their game had been earlier in the season.
By the definition of what you're calling their game, which I agree with, they are currently not playing their game. They are not protecting the puck well. They are not hard on the forecheck.
There's no cycles.
There's no structure where they're together. They're, you know, it's often one guy in a forecheck. Well, two guys are changing, and then they're going the other way. Another guy's changing. Like, it doesn't seem like there's much cohesiveness right now.
No.
Guys don't have short support for each other. When they do have it.
Yeah.
And too spread out.
I remember us talking in the first couple of months. We'd come in here and be like, remember odd man rushes? Well, it's like they never gave up odd man rushes. It was just, they locked it down. It was totally consistent with that. And then it just, all it is.
And from the back end, earlier in the year, not spending that much time in their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. There's no star on that blue line. That includes Chris Tanev when he comes back.
Right.
But simple first passes out of your zone. And now that's not the case here. Like, and
Florida's D that won the cup, who their best D was who?
Montour.
Montour and Ekblad was good
which
too.
If you take the top 20 D in the NHL, neither guy goes inside that. My point being, you can win collectively.
I think that was always the case with this blue line.
Yeah.
But Jake McCabe is very important to this team.
Yes.
I'm watching him the last two games, and he's wearing cement boots trying to pass the puck. And it's like, no good.
Mm-hmm.
No good. Feet aren't moving. There's not many options for you. That cross ice, the 60-foot cross ice pass in the neutral zone ends up on the other team's stick, and it's right back in your zone.
Yeah.
I didn't see that earlier. It was clean. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't overly wow.
Yeah.
But it worked for them earlier in the year, and now it's not working.
Pulling up some numbers, the Leafs dump-in rate, they're the percentage of, like, entries where they dump it in. The team who dumps it in most in the NHL is Florida. 54% of their entries are off a dump-in. The Leafs are fifth most dump-ins in the NHL. They're over 50% at 50.6. Ottawa, by the way, second.
Is there a retrieval or retreat percentage?
Yes, there are. And I feel
retrieval to retreat percentage?
No, like a recovery percentage.
Yeah, recovery percentage on dump-ins. How many times do you get the puck back when you dump it in?
You know, I wanted to tell you, they stink at it. They don't. Fifth best in the NHL. They get back 22.6% of their dumped-in pucks, according to this thing.
Who gets most, Florida? Sorry for making you do
the
that.
The Islanders?
Okay.
I might need a second with some of this data.
That's okay. But can you tell me how much of a percentage different? Like, are we talking about 3, 4%, 25%?
Between them and?
And the Islanders? Can you see?
Yeah.
What would the Islanders be?
Yeah, they're like 24%.
Okay, yeah. All right. So I mean, I don't know how that looks like in terms of the total number of pucks that you get over the Leafs.
I got to run this through some, some thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, they do dump the puck into tons. That clearly is part of who they are. They need to get in on the forecheck.
They get great goaltending, too.
Oh, yeah.
Goaltending. That's identity.
That's such a scary identity to have in playoffs. I know other teams are afraid of it. But it's very scary entering playoffs being like, one of the things we do well is get saves. And it's like, ugh.
I put in the lineup, but I couldn't pronounce the guy's full name, but he's a stats guy for TNT.
Yeah.
His name is Jazz. Did you see this?
Jazz, Chris. Yeah. Yastrzemski.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay. He's got a long name, but I'm giving him a big shout out. He said that Leafs goaltender Joseph Woll has stopped all 50 shots faced during crunch time situations this year. The only goalie with a perfect save percentage in those situations. The final 5 minutes of regulation and overtime when the game is either tied or within a one goal margin.
I gotta tell you, I need him to give up one now.
Is that meaningless or does that matter? Like what? That's
he's kind of the same goalie start of the game, end of the game. He doesn't seem to get too flustered. I think that's something.
I'm not.
Does nothing for you.
I'm not overly worried about their goaltending, and I think they set their bar so high that that's the reason why maybe some people have noticed right now that it's. It's come down, but it's only noticeable because they were so good for so long.
Yeah, it's true. Also, I do want to tell you that I had my information wrong on pucks recovered. Florida is the best team in the NHL. Mm. I was looking at the wrong category. They get back 40% of pucks.
40% of pucks?
They are the best.
God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Useless and useful. Yeah. Where would we put that?
They dump it in the most and they get it back the most. Extremely useful.
Extremely.
So the Leafs are about 4 or 5% behind that at 11th in the NHL.
Wow.
Yeah, they're that hungry.
The one I was looking at is recoveries with scoring chances after. The Leafs do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, one other question I have before we go to break to get to the mailbag. I've seen a lot of stuff about the Leafs 5-on-5 stats being way down from years past. To this one, how much of that is one of the best 5-on-5 players since he's entered the league just not being himself? How much does that factor into it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because it's just like they've had Austin Matthews who's had the most even strength goals since he's entered the league. Like he's a guy that has been absolutely dominant 5-on-5. And a lot of people are pointing to that. And I can't help but wonder, I don't know if there's any way to quantify it, but that has to be a factor.
The best line in the NHL, the best lines, like the McDavid line and whoever else you have in that category, they typically tend to get 65% of the goals, like, you know, they'll outscore their opposition by about that much. And that line right now, I think it's at 55% at 5-on-5. Like, you know, they're better than their opposition, but you need them to be better than that.
Really?
Yeah.
As far as Matthews is concerned, like, we got to start seeing some of that old magic here.
Especially tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night's a big challenge for him.
100%.
No question. And I know they didn't have a great game against Utah, but let's just start with two goals in the shootout between Marner and Matthews. And Matthews' goal that he scored, I don't know if people truly appreciated how good of a goal that was.
Chutzpah.
Unbelievable.
Like, honestly, that's the Matthews I remember.
Yeah.
That when he goes in there, it's like, okay, maybe one or two guys can shoot it in the net like that.
It's like the arrogance to even throw an off-speed pitch
at
that guy.
Marner closes it out with world-class moves as well.
He's so good at that move.
When I watch McKinnon, whether it's against the Leafs the other night or just on another game, he always looks the same, like incredibly dangerous. Yeah. And he's going a million miles an hour. And he's never not looking like Nate McKinnon.
Right.
Very seldom.
Every time he goes near the puck, you're like, oh, my God, please, God, get it away from
him. Well, it's just like fending off an oncoming army. And it's like, okay, we kept it off that time. It's like, okay, here it comes again. Wave after wave.
And Matthews was like that last year.
Yeah.
Well, he scored 69 goals. Yeah. And then, you know, the year he scores the other 60, he was like that every shift where you're like, okay, the guy's going to score a goal a game. And then it got to the point where he was like, he's going to have an amazing scoring chance every shift. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't get ripped off of those moments. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And this year, it's just not there.
So I have a devil's advocate to this because I've seen a lot of this from the more pro Matthews camp in terms of him not having it. Like, is he being asked to do a lot of different stuff with Berube? Is there a more defensive responsibility? He's been good defensively in years past, even when he scored 70. But, like, is he being asked to do something different by the coach that's changed his offensive output? Because I see that take a lot on the other side of it. So, I don't know if you guys have any thought on
it. It's a good question, but I don't, his hits are down from last year, like stuff that you'd expect Berube to ask him to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
My instinct after all these years either playing or covering the game is that Craig would not do that. He would not jeopardize a guy of that stature to not do what he does best.
Yeah. Can you not score 55 goals for my hockey team, please? And I guess it is stupid when I talk it out like that, but you know what I'm saying.
And to me, is he kind of reprogrammed himself because he was hurt earlier this year? Is it still more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing right now for him?
Saving himself for the playoffs, wants to be fresh when the playoffs start. Who knows? This switch flips.
But I have been very interested in, like, for a while he kind of became a much more physical version of himself. And I am curious about the hitting thing. So, like, 2 years ago, Matthews has 3.1 hits per game and Mitch Marner has 1.8. Last year, Matthews has 3.14 hits per game and Marner's like 2.4. This year, Marner has 1.7, which he kind of typically does. Matthews has 1.6.
Wow.
He's throwing less hits per 60 than Mitch Marner this year.
That's crazy.
That is a tangibly different...
Especially when he hammered. Who'd he hammer on? Utah.
Sergachev. Yeah. And I will hang my hat on that hit as a possible turning point for him moving forward.
You loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah. And then he started playing better after the game. And then he scores the shootout and gets
I would beg Craig Berube to beg him to at least have your opponent think that you have that in you. You don't have to use it every shift.
But it's the back, right? But he's worried about it.
The only thing your opponents and Florida Panthers need to know is that
you can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
And it changes the way they play against you, the way they look at you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break.
We said we were going to break early. And then we talked about nothing for 35 minutes. Good talk, boys.
Good job.
It's all good. I was enjoying it.
Stats.
Okay. It is McKee's midweek Maple Leaf mailbag coming up next. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. During the break, I say to the boys, I'm thinking about getting new sticks. They're like, you don't know anybody in the hockey world that can get you hockey sticks? I'm like, no, boys. Golf clubs.
Why do you think hockey?
Don't you skate with like 100 NHLers every week? Like, I'm pretty sure someone's got a stick floating around for you.
No.
Boys, the only sticks that are important right now are the ones in the summer.
Yeah, I really.
Oh, yeah.
Hitting the sim last night, having some swings. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready, are you?
I'm ready,
working,
yeah.
Working on maybe some Callaway's, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone who wants to send me
I got my fresh
new driver.
List. I'm ready to roll with.
If you're listening right now, send me a new driver.
I did. I went up there. They're like, your driver's cracked.
I'm oh, like, really?
It's cracked.
Because you're
I've been playing
Deschambo-esque swing speed?
I've been playing all summer with a cracked
That's
driver.
That's devastating.
Yeah, you got to get
You should take two
play.
Strokes off all your scores last summer.
Entered into Golf Canada.
All right, Sammy.
Quickly, before we get into it, have you seen the St. Pat's jerseys this year?
Oh,
they're the same as the other ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the same as last year's. Have you seen them?
I mean, I've seen them for years.
Like no, but they have like new ones.
Okay.
Couple of years. They suck.
What?
Yeah, they suck.
The St. Pat's jerseys are the nicest Leafs jerseys.
I was going to ask the Leafs to send us one. Now you say it sucks. Now they're not sending us one.
That's okay. You guys can say you like them. You can put one up. I just, like, they've really tried to reinvent the wheel with it. And just go back to the Matt Sundin era green one with, like, just the classic St. Pat's. They've tried to turn it into some Gen Z clover that's not even a clover. Like, they're really overdoing it. My Leafies are overdoing it.
It's such a hipster thing. They used to be better when I was young.
True. But I don't know. Like, I'll talk about it later. Right. We'll do the mailbag. All right. So where do we want to start? Go ahead.
Okay, this is not callers. That's another day,
That's
right?
That's on Friday. This is from...
Just checking.
This is from X, the everything
app. This is people calling in text form.
This is from Kurt on Twitter, or X, the everything app. Would you rather have Mitch Marner at $13 million or Bennett and Marchand, let's say, for $16 million combined next season?
Mitch Marner. I'm a big ceiling guy. Lots of teams have guys in the 40th to 60th best range. Really tough to get the guys in the top 20.
That is, to me, one of the great sort of fears of this stuff. It's like, because everybody's been talking about Bennett. Everybody's been talking about Marchand. If Marner moves on, and go to our Monday show if you want to see how we all feel about that one. But, you know, forecasting the next year, we're like, oh, my God, they got Sam Bennett. And it's like, oh, they said, and it's just like, this isn't quite as good as having Mitch Marner on the team, is it? This isn't quite as exciting.
They've had all along the Florida Panthers trouble signing Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
And it ain't getting cheaper.
But
so
like,
it's.
Do you think he'd want to come here?
Could he not be, you know, Tavares is money, you give $9 million to Bennett or something? Like, I don't know. I know that's a huge number for Sam Bennett probably, but.
It's a big number.
Eight to it's Sam Bennett number. Then?
Do you think he'd come here, Kev?
I think money and opportunity is going to be there for him if he wants it.
Would Marchand come here?
No.
When I put Brad Marchand on my trade board, someone said that Boston would not trade him to Toronto.
Yeah.
Fair. And I still think we all know now Brad Marchand only had one place at the end of the day. He told the Boston Bruins he'll go, and that is Florida. But maybe it was a combination that Boston wouldn't trade him to Toronto, plus he didn't want to come to Toronto, or vice versa. I don't know.
It tarnishes your legacy on your old team if you go directly to the team that everyone's hated.
Yeah.
You've helped beat the most.
Yeah.
Florida's a very close second, by the way. That's a rival to Boston Bruins.
But you know what's different? No one in Florida exists.
Yeah, you hear about it every day from every Leaf fan. Be like, Leafs legend Brad Marchand.
Yeah, he won a cup with you guys, and he still chose us.
He loves it here more than he ever loved it there. You know, like,
social media.
Yeah,
they'll take it from Florida Panther fans.
Yeah, well, Panther fans got a daiquiri in their hand on the beach. They're like, if people are on Twitter, like,
who'd they get? What's hockey? This is from Katrina Cass on Twitter. What happens to Ryan Reeves now? Does he actually report to the Marlies?
I think it'd be tough for Ryan Reeves to make $1.35 million not playing hockey. And I think he likes hockey. Yeah. I think he does play for the Marlies.
This
no?
is this is also having the unique situation of having your farm team across the street. Mm-hmm. He can
He's around.
Practice with either side. He can play if he wants to play, or if the Leafs want him to play, if he doesn't want to play, or he can just hang in there. Mm-hmm. The rosters open up, and if there's an injury or a scenario where he can come You're back right. and play, he plays.
He's going to be with the team, I assume, in playoffs or no? He was on the Marlies roster. He wasn't on the playoff. No, I don't think he's playoff eligible, is he? I got to figure that out. But anyway.
I would believe he would be.
He probably is.
It'd be a call-up. He'd have to go through the process, I think, of being called up, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but even now with LTIR and stuff, I bet he's up.
I don't know if he was officially. He cleared waivers.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he officially is right now on the roster.
Yeah. I believe he's with the Marlies, but I do think that you'll see him with the Leafs in the coming weeks. He'll be around. Guys love him. They want him around.
For the record, we went through this with Wayne Simmonds, and I don't think he ever played for the Marlies, but I don't think it really helped him either not playing for the Marlies.
Right. It might have been better to stay fresh, play games, handle the
Something.
Puck.
Something. Just stay in a routine of prep. Yeah.
But after years and years of playing in the NHL, real tough to take that bus to Utica and suit up, you know?
This is from Ethan, member of the Passion Zone. Nuclear scenario, because we're not allowed to have nice things in this market. Would you guys rather have the Leafs enter the playoffs with Matthews in his current state? He says just over 40%, which is, that's pretty harsh to how he feels.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team in decent form, or have the 70-goal version of him with the D and goaltending of years past?
I'll take the 40%.
Yeah.
You have no shot with
goaltending
with a 100-goal score if you have no faith in your goalie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every game was 2-1 or 3-2 in the first round of the playoffs last year.
But that's the point, Sam. One more save there and maybe
you win 1-0?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's illegal to win 1-0.
Well, they could have won 1-0 in game 7, I guess.
Had a chance at it.
They did have a chance at it.
Yeah, you need... You need your best player to be the goalie, even if a guy scores a hat trick. I'm telling you that it's everything.
It is so funny that we spend so much time picking through detail systems, players, whatever, and the whole thing can get undercut if a goalie just stinks.
Yeah,
it doesn't even matter if the goalie stinks.
That's what keeps you up at night if you're a general manager. This one's from Average Joe's Gymnasium. Relevant because they're playing the Panthers tomorrow. Have you guys covered the Ekblad suspension yet?
Well, we mentioned it. We talked about it briefly. We found out about it on the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there's a ton to offer. Here's what we know. He's been suspended for 20 games, performance-enhancing drugs. He says he took something without consulting the team.
It's got to be it, right? Don't look any further than these guys. They take stuff for healing. He was an idiot.
Yeah.
He did not.
So you don't think it's like something nefarious where he's like, I'm going to knowingly take a steroid that's illegal?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think this guy, there's multiple people around these athletes today, including the guy in the corner store at the nutritionist who's a nutritionist, and it's like, try this and try that. There is a list of substances that are banned. To the players,
right?
You give it to your.
Which, by the way, no one's ever.
You give it to anybody that wants to prescribe something to you or give you something. You have to go back to the trainers before you pop anything and say, "Can you look at this? Is it? Am I good to go here?"
People will be like, "Ah, this is like it's cream of shelled ladybug," and you're like, "Sure, if that helps. I don't know. It sounds herbal."
So it's like, and if it is on the list, you're done.
Now, the one thing that makes people skeptical is he's an oft-injured player who, you know, the NHL testing is pretty porous. It's not impossible to slide through the cracks, random testing once a year sort of thing. And they're in their cup window. He is incentivized to be the best version of himself, so people...
Contract year.
Yeah, there's a lot of people being like, I get why he'd want to be healthy at all costs.
Yeah.
But he's not an idiot. It's...
No, okay. I mean, you are... JB, you are, if you take something and you don't check with the proper authorities on the subject.
And I will say, having seen, you know, like the Marlies and their training guy, people come in and say, hey, can I have Life cereal? You know, like just the most basic stuff, because you don't want to run the risk even, right? There's nothing in.
And if he got lazy because he thought the percentages were, I wasn't going to get tested this week and it would be out of my system by then.
Right.
It's just, again, it's just dumb. Yeah. It's just dumb. Don't do anything. Don't take anything. Put it on the trainers.
Yeah.
He told me I could take it.
Yeah.
Put it on somebody else through the team, though, to take something orally without the team putting a stamp on it is just...
Now...
I don't know how much money it cost him.
Millions, probably.
Crazy.
It is crazy, though, that, like, you don't get tested in the offseason. And if you're not under contract, you're not tested at all. So your team misses playoffs. It's April 15th. The next time you're at a camp is October, you know, end of September, whatever. What is that, four months? That's the window where if anyone does anything, it happens. I'm not saying it does. Just saying that's the window.
Important question is from Ernie. Important question. When Mike Liut punched Kipper over a cribbage game, did he punch him in the face or punch him in the shoulder? Big difference.
Yeah, shoulder.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? I just looked at him and said, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
but, I mean, things escalate. I remember punching my friend in the face at a McDonald's.
Could have been a real bad reaction, right? Right back at him.
Right.
But I'm like, he's a veteran. I'm just this young punk.
Give him dead arm, and now he can't lift his glove hand.
If the Leafs beat Florida tomorrow night, is it a statement game, or because they're missing Tkachuk, Ekblad, and Marchand, it's not?
Oh, that's a nightmare. You don't get to claim it if
No, I got full statement game. Full statement game. I it doesn't matter. In, out, doesn't matter. If you have a good look to your game, then you can ride that going into the stretch.
Particularly because the Panthers are going to look something like this. You know, they don't know that they're going to have Tkachuk back. They're not going to have Ekblad back for two games.
They're coming in pissed right now. They blew a 2-0 lead.
Big points.
Right? With, 11 minutes to go?
Yeah.
On a team that has had the last 2 weeks of barely giving up a goal.
Yeah.
And this is just earlier about the dump and chase stuff. This is from Officer Nasty on Twitter. Craig Berube is a dump and chase coach. Is it just me, or does this team execute the dump and chase piss poor? Don't know if I can say that, but I just did. Feel like the majority of the dump-ins this season just become passes to the other team. This feels like a big contribution to them not controlling much of the play these days. And what was the number for them?
Was that recovery or dumping?
Dumping.
They dump it in about 50.5% of the time.
And how often did they come out with the puck, do you remember?
36%, roughly, 35 point something.
And the Panthers dump it in?
55% and get it back 40%.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Officer Nasty, there you go, buddy.
I just think they put it in bad spots a lot. Like, not thoughtful. Too often rim to the goalie. Not enough. As I said, the support doesn't seem to be there. I don't think they set their teammates up for success with the way they dump the puck in.
No, it's an art. It's what angle you're coming in. Yeah. How far is the puck off the boards? Chip. Do you want it on the wall? Do you want it rim? Do you want it coming back out towards a goalie where he has to make a tough decision? Do I go get it? Do I not go get it?
Too much soft rim. Goalie stops at other teams.
But they are not on the same page right now when it comes to getting pucks in deep.
Part of that, sorry, is the lines. They haven't had steady lines. When you know how your line mate likes to get in after pucks, you can put it somewhere better. Hopefully they have some line consistency going forward.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
All right. Lines right now, same as last game it looked like. Yarncroc still with Tavares and Nylander. They kept that fourth line together, Holmberg, Kampfler, Enns. I would be surprised if we see a different fourth line without injury the rest of the year. Holmberg, Kampfler, Enns. That is a fourth line.
Yeah.
Now, McMahon, Lawton, Domi, Robertson might get plugged in at some point. Someone's going to get a reality check at some point because they're not going to sit Robertson for 18 games.
I'm looking for Max to hit a bit of a stretch here where we see some good hockey. I like him on the wing right now and having some flexibility and some movement to work anywhere in the lineup from here on in. So made a great pass the other night. I think it's a good time to kind of get Lawton going as well. Lawton, Domi, McMahon should be a good line.
Yeah.
Confidence, boys. Confidence.
Great line.
All right. Our thanks to nobody who joined us today.
Thanks, our tweeters.
Yes, our mailbag followers. All right. Big game tonight on the network. Out west, Vancouver, Calgary. We're all over it. Coming up next.